Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
This is the main evening news at 5 o'clock. I'm Daniel Brennan. In this bulletin, Donegal Deputy Pearse Doherty and Leo Varadkar clashed once again in the Dáil today, this time over the cost of living.
The people that come into my constituency office are not ranting to us when they tell us that they can't make ends meet.
The Green Party leader insists the government is still stable despite only holding majority of one following the suspension of two TDs last night.
It's a well-functioning, stable and committed government.
And calls are being made to introduce a cath lab at Letterkenny University Hospital using equipment purchased by the Friends of the Hospital.
The equipment that we have here leaves us best placed ahead of the rest.
We'll have those stories in full and a lot more over the next half hour. Kenny Harkin will be here at 5:15 with the latest in sport, and also coming up is this week's Farming News and Views with Chris Ashmore. To this evening's top stories, and Donegal Deputy Pearse Doherty and Taoiseach Leo Varadkar clashed in the Dáil again today, this time over the cost of living crisis. Deputy Doherty called on the government to take further action to reduce the cost of fuels and childcare costs, while also demanding an increase to social welfare rates. In response to Deputy Doherty's opening statement in leaders' questions this afternoon, Taoiseach Leo Varadkar asked him to acknowledge the government's measures already implemented to tackle the cost of living.
2.4 billion euros, 10 or 20 measures, universal to help everyone, targeted ones to help those most in need. Now, I know what I'm going to hear back. I'm going to hear back the usual rant for social media about how we don't get it and yada yada and all the stuff that that's pre-scripted. But I would like to see back. I would like to see back, maybe just in part of your response, you know, some acknowledgement that the government has actually done something in this area. 2.4 billion euros worth of relief to help households with the cost of living. Would you at least be generous or honest enough even to acknowledge that?
In response, Deputy Pearse Doherty said the reality for those who come to his constituency office is that they simply can't make ends meet despite the government's measures.
We recognise what happened in the budget. We recognise the measures that were happening. Indeed, we argued strongly. We had to push you again and time again to even move in terms of petrol and diesel, and you still didn't go far enough. But let me tell you this, hand in heart, the people that come into my constituency office, the people that come into the constituency office of my colleagues, are not ranting to us when they tell us that they can't make ends meet. When they tell us that they're facing serious choices in this year of 2022 about how to heat their homes, how to clothe their children, how to put food on the table. They are saying to us that they're in social welfare dependent. They haven't seen an increase in social welfare rates as a result of your government, despite the fact that inflation is running at over 7%, and these individuals have a higher rate of inflation. We are hearing people who are renters, who are telling us that they can't afford the rent increases. That even 2% that you're talking about, in many areas it's far more than that. They can't afford that, and they're deemed being homeless. They're not ranting to us, they're telling us the real life experience. And what I'm asking you today in leaders' question is, will government respond to the immediate needs that are there, that households and families are faced, low and middle income, that need additional supports in the form of social welfare increase, in the form of rent rebate, and in the form of reduction in childcare costs?
The Taoiseach has also played down concerns about the government's stability after two Green Party TDs lost the party whip. Nasa Hourigan and Patrick Costello voted in favour of a Sinn Féin motion on the new National Maternity Hospital, demanding that it be built on public land. As a result, they've lost the government whip, leaving the coalition with a majority in the Dáil of just one. Taoiseach Leo Varadkar, however, says he does not foresee it being a major problem.
I think, first of all, you can rest assured that the government still has a majority in the Dáil and still has a substantial majority in the Shannon. As you pointed out yourself, there's little or no evidence that the opposition parties will be able to come together to form an alternative government. You don't need an election to form an alternative government. You could have formed one together 2 years ago, a left-wing government, and you decided not to.
Meanwhile, Green Party leader Eamon Ryan said the suspension of Nasa Hourigan and Patrick Costello was not something his coalition partners called for.
No, I mean, I talked to Taoiseach McTownish most every day and obviously informed them yesterday of what we were likely going to be doing. I talked to them both earlier on in the afternoon, but as I said, they understand, as we did when you know, Fianna Fáil had a problem, they lost one of their members. You kind of you work in coalition on the basis of trust, and each party manages its own affairs. I think it's a well-functioning government.
One of Donegal's representatives on the HSE's Western Regional Forum is calling for immediate clarity on the future of the angiogram service in Donegal, as well as recognition that the cath lab at Letterkenny University Hospital should now be fully commissioned. The Friends of the Hospital have raised €750,000 as a local contribution to provide the service, with claims that the HSE has effectively reneged on an agreement to provide a full cath lab. Yesterday, the SAILTA Chief Executive Tony Cavanagh told the 9 till noon show that a three-person expert panel is looking at the situation and will make recommendations shortly. Local councillor Kieran Brogan says the service at the hospital at present is excellent, and the ongoing arrangement of that legalment is also working well. He says, however, it's worrying all that could be jeopardised, particularly at a time when one of the top cardiologists in the country is currently based at Letterkenny University Hospital.
Dr. David that we have in Letterkenny, and I've never met the man, but I have met many people who has been through his services and has nothing but the highest respect for the service that he's provided in Letterkenny and the lives that he has saved. And I think, you know, we hear many discussions on your radio station about us trying to attract consultants to the region and to Letterkenny. Here we have one of the best in the country. So we need to put the tools, if you like, in place, the supports in place. The Friends of the Hospital took that leap of faith. They put that $750,000 in there. That was the public, the people of Donegal. And I have nothing but the highest respect for the great morale, the boost, the team, the work that Letterkenny Friends of the Hospital has done. And I think there's an opportunity here now to restore the confidence in the service and to take that leap of faith and put whatever resources is needed to make sure that we have a permanent service in Letterkenny. And it doesn't take much. And there's many, many occasions that you'll see you're talking about hundreds of millions. That's not the case here. And, you know, everybody, to be fair, is singing off the one page here. We just need the medical people to come on board, because far too many people has had to travel to Galway and Dublin. But here we have the capital infrastructure in place. We have the expert equipment in place. That's not in Sligo. The equipment that we have here leaves us best placed ahead of the rest. But we just need those people that's having the review to have that meeting as a matter of urgency and tell us that this service is permanent. Because as we speak, the cardiology service in Letterkenny, I'm led to believe, is not allowed to take any other appointments after a certain date in June. Okay. And that's unfortunate.
An initial councillor is calling for a full briefing on plans for the implementation of the Tusnua regeneration programme announced last year for Carndonagh. Councillor Albert Doherty says the plan will see millions invested in the town and its environs, but it was not referenced at a special meeting last Friday to agree a loan to provide matching funding for major projects. He says he's received verbal assurances that things are progressing, but wants a more detailed briefing.
On the 12th of April past, councillors were assured that the project enjoyed significant momentum. And then, Donal, when we went to Lifford last Friday in relation to the loan funding, there was absolutely no mention of the Tusnua regeneration. So I'm calling on the council and members of that team to address ourselves at the earliest possible date and to explain the progress or lack of progress.
It's your belief that substantial works can't be done under the Tusnua programme without that loan funding that was agreed by the council, 20 million in total?
That was my reading of the situation. But on the Tuesday before May 13th meeting, I was in contact with the director, Liam Lord. I was in contact with the chief executive, and I received verbal assurances that the Carndonagh Tusnua regeneration project will be moving simultaneously with others, including projects that were included in that loan list. But we need a good brief, a sound brief, and that's what I'm calling for at the next municipal meeting or earlier if possible. Delay to me costs. So all around, all asundry in the Inishowen, North Inishowen and Carndonagh area, we want to see progress and we want an immediate brief that will assure us that progress will happen.
Tensions flared at an Oireachtas committee meeting last night, during which representatives of the Sea Fisheries Protection Authority were questioned regarding the Killybegs fish weighing controversy. In his opening statement to the committee, SFPA Executive Chair Pascal Hayes was asked to withdraw a controversial statement where he asked committee members to consider the array of potential motivations of operators critical of the weighing processes in Killybegs.
We ask committee members to consider carefully the array of potential motivations of operators choosing to decry the need to weigh one out of every 20 landings outside of system.
Can I just get a point of clarification? This is very important. That's a very serious statement just being made there. You need to clarify that sentence you just read out. Deputy, what do you mean by that sentence?
Deputy, no. He's making his opening statement.
With respect, Chair, you can't impugn the reputation of people outside the House in this committee. I'd ask him to clarify that sentence. Chair, with respect, I'm asking you to deliberate here. That sentence, and if you don't mind, I'd like to read the sentence. We ask committee members to consider carefully the array of potential motivations of operators choosing to decry the need. What does that mean, the array of potential motivations? Is that questioning the motivation or the character of people outside this House? We need to clarify that. That's a serious matter, Chair.
Chair, on a point of order, you read out at the start, it is not for any witness here to cast aspersions on people who can't defend themselves, and there is a limited number of operators, and that sentence is very, very serious and it should be withdrawn.
You asked that statement to be withdrawn.
The point has been made that you are making allegations against individuals, and it's clear in my opening statement, on privilege, that anyone at the committee meeting shouldn't do that. So do you want to withdraw that comment from your opening statement?
I didn't intend it in that way, Chair, but if it causes offence, I'm happy to withdraw that sentence.
That's not withdrawal. You know exactly what's been said there. You're an intelligent man, and I'm asking that it be withdrawn in respect to this committee.
But Deputy, I am agreeing to withdraw it.
During the hearing, Mr Hayes outlined the SFPA's legal reasoning for insisting that 5% of pelagic catches are weighed at the pier side, saying that manipulation of their prior systems of checks from the industry spurred the EU to introduce stricter measures.
The SFPA responded to increased understanding of non-compliance risk by enhancing its control focus on landings and weighing and strengthening the permit conditions to include, for example, CCTV feed to SFPA. Nevertheless, a clear sentiment existed of ready manipulability of such systems, with any such manipulation resulting in inaccurate declarations of the amount of fish landed and potentially fraudulent food marketing. This puts at risk the reputation of Ireland's entire sea fisheries and seafood processing sector.
The time is now 12 minutes past 5 o'clock. We'll take a short break. Sport with Kenny is coming up after these.
Highland Sport is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, now stocking the new Donegal GAA home jersey at michaelmurphysports.ie.
The time is 5:15, time to go over to the sports desk and Kenny Harkin.
Thanks, Daniel. In golf, golf's second major of the year is underway, and Rory McIlroy's in the lead at the opening day of the US PGA Championship at Southern Hills in Georgia. The Hollywood native is 4 under par through his first 9 holes, giving him a 1-stroke advantage over the field. Patrick Harrington isn't going so well, though. He's 3 over par through his front 9. Seamus Power tees off after 7 o'clock, and Shane Lowry is out on the course shortly afterwards. Justin Rose, he's among the chasers chasing after McIlroy. He's on 3 under par through 7. And Tiger Woods, who's playing with McIlroy, is 1 under par through his first 9 holes. In boxing, 2 Irish boxers bid for World Championship glory in Istanbul today. Amy Broadhurst's light welterweight final against Iman Keef of Algeria is just about to get underway. And afterwards, it's the turn of Lisa O'Rourke in the light middleweight final, where Helena Panguan of Mozambique provides the opposition. Broadhurst and O'Rourke are looking to follow Katie Taylor and Kelly Harrington in winning world titles. Moving on to soccer, and Monaghan United will take the place of Coghill United in the Ulster Senior League Cup final. At Tuesday night's USL Executive Committee meeting, it was deemed that Coghill Celtic player Adam McCarron was cup-tied for the semi-final win over Monaghan United, as he had lined out for Finn Harps under-21s in the group stage before his transfer to Coghill. Last weekend's final was called off just hours before kick-off, as the league started their investigation. Coghill have accepted the punishment, which now brings an end to their season. Cross-channel Everton have the chance to secure their Premier League status tonight. They'll guarantee safety if they beat Crystal Palace. 7:45 is the start time at Goodison Park. There's 2 games underway at 8. Burnley, they can move out of the bottom 3 if they avoid defeat at Aston Villa. And Chelsea can cement 3rd place with a win over Leicester. Here at home, Shamrock Rovers have the chance to open up a 7-point lead over Derry City at the top of the SSE Electricity League Premier Division tonight. They take on bottom side UCD at Belfield. Kick-off there is 7:45. And up in Scotland, Lee Johnson has been confirmed as the new manager of Scottish Premiership side Hibernian. The former Sunderland boss has signed a 4-year deal at Easter Road. He replaces Sean Maloney, who was sacked 4 months into his tenure with the Edinburgh side, finishing the season in 8th place. Roy Keane was among the other names linked with the vacancy. In some other news, a 30-year-old man's been jailed for attacking Sheffield United captain Billy Sharp. Robert Biggs from Ilkstone in Derbyshire admitted headbutting the striker after Nottingham Forest won Tuesday's Championship semi-final playoff on penalties. He's been sentenced to 24 weeks in jail, and Forest have also banned him for life. And female referees will officiate at a men's World Cup for the first time at this year's tournament in Qatar. 6 women officials in total will be involved when the competition gets underway in November. In rugby, scrum half John Cooney returns to the Ulster team as one of 3 changes for Friday's crucial URC match at home to Sharks. Cooney replaces Nathan Doak, while Tom O'Toole comes in at prop to in the place of Gareth Milosanovic, and Alan O'Connor, he starts in the second row ahead of Kieran Treadwell, with the replaced trio all on the bench. Ulster in 5th place in the table going into the final weekend, just a point behind 3rd placed Sharks. Both teams know that victory in Belfast tomorrow will guarantee them a home quarter final in the inaugural URC competition. And Dublin's Aviva Stadium will host next season's Heineken Champions Cup and Challenge Cup finals. The 2023 competitions will be staged on Friday the 19th and Saturday the 20th of May. Next year's showpiece was originally slated for the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium, but changes in the football calendar has resulted in the tournament organisers selecting Lansdowne Road as the designated ground. And in cricket, there's an interprovincial 50-over match taking place in Cork today. The North West Warriors score 235 all out. In reply, Munster Reds are struggling. They're on 63 for 8 after 23 overs. Finally, on the score this evening, we'll get the latest from the Donegal camp. That's ahead of Sunday week's Ulster final with Derry. This Sunday, the Donegal ladies play Armagh in the Ulster final in Clonus. We'll hear from manager Maxie Curran. Anthony Gorman joins us on our weekly League of Ireland view, looking ahead to this weekend's games. And Donegal boxer Brett McGinty looks ahead to his next professional fight in Doncaster. That's the score this evening after the 7 o'clock news. It's back to Daniel.
Thanks, Kenny. Weather now rather windy this evening with a mix of cloud and some sunny spells, with some scattered showers as well. It'll be mainly dry for a time tonight with clear spells. However, a band of rain will spread from the west later in the night. Lowest temperatures of 8 to 10 degrees overnight tonight. This evening's main headlines yet again. Donegal Deputy Pearse Doherty and Leo Varadkar clashed in the Dáil again today over the cost of living crisis. Deputy Doherty called on the government to take further action to reduce the cost of fuels and childcare costs, while also demanding an increase to social welfare rates. The Taoiseach has played down concerns about the government's stability after 2 Green Party TDs lost the party whip. Nasa Hourigan and Patrick Costello voted in favour of a Sinn Féin motion on the new National Maternity Hospital. As a result, they have lost the government whip, leaving the coalition with a majority in the Dáil of just 1. And one of Donegal's representatives on the HSE's Western Regional Forum has called for immediate clarity on the future of the angiogram service in Donegal and recognition that the cath lab at Letterkenny University Hospital should be fully commissioned. The Friends of the Hospital have raised €750,000 as a local contribution to provide the service, with claims that the HSE has effectively reneged an agreement to provide a full cath lab there. That's all from the news desk for now. The Farming News and Views is coming up with Chris Ashmore immediately after the main evening news here, and I'll be back again with the latest headlines at 6 o'clock. Until then, good evening.
Highlands Farming News and Views is brought to you in association with Lifford Credit Union, who have recently launched Cultivate, an agricultural loan at only 6.55%, APR 6.75%. Call in to any of their 3 offices for more information or to make an appointment. Lifford Credit Union. Rafo Newton Lifford, supporting local farmers.
Hello, good evening and welcome to this week's edition of Farming News and Views here on Highland Radio. I'm Chris Ashmore. Coming up, we'll hear about the continuing rise in beef prices and also another boost for the live export trade. But first, agricultural shows in Donegal are set to benefit from a new class in the years ahead. This follows the news that the Minister for Agriculture, Charlie McConnellogue, has announced a new package that will see the rolling out of a brand new class aimed at showcasing the best of beef breeding heifers. The new class will be administered by the Irish Shows Association. The Breeders' Choice class will be open to 4 and 5 breeding heifers in 2 separate classes, traditional breeds and continental breeds. Pedigree as well as commercial heifers are eligible for the classes. And over the next 5 years, €250,000 will be provided for the initiative on a national basis. Well, the beef trade continues to soar this week with prices heading for €6 a kilo. So what's behind this upward trend in prices? Adam Woods, beef and suckler editor with the Irish Farmers Journal, has been telling me more.
I guess it's a perfect sort of storm between supply and demand. We're seeing supply restricted across the UK. The kilo's down 6%. And across Europe, there's a lot of countries down as well. And we're seeing really good demand, I guess. Food service trade is back in full flow again, and there is a definite appetite out there for beef. Ireland is well positioned in terms of our production model and our beef to sell into that European market and into that UK market. We're actually up on the kill on 2021. We're up about 62,000. But we're seeing a real good demand, and we're seeing finished cattle in quite short supply on Irish farms. I guess this is the time of year where shed cattle have went out to grass. It's only very big feeders or quite intensive finishers have cattle left in sheds. So that leaves a small number of people the factories have to draw on to get their supplies. And that's why we're seeing price increases. And I guess if we look across Europe in terms of prices where they're at, we're still well behind some of those European countries. If we look at bulls in Holland, they're up at 5.90. If we look in Poland, I guess they're up a €1.50, a €1.60 on where they were last year. We're probably only up about 90 cents, maybe €1 a kilo on where we were this time last year. So it probably still has a little bit more to go, but we're seeing, to be honest, by the day, quotes moving. Donegal, obviously, first out of the traps, up with yourself, Chris, on Monday morning, and they raised quotes by 20 cents a kilo. That's a massive increase in a matter of a week. It's been a while since I've seen such a jump in beef quotes, and look, it's really positive for beef finishers.
So for the Donegal beef finishers, these are certainly good times. How long can this continue?
Yeah, I guess I would have been worried at the beginning of the year looking at numbers, because we estimate that the national kill will be up 80,000, maybe 90,000 for 2022. But the fact that we're up 62,000 already, that takes the pressure off for the back end of the year. So I would have been a little bit concerned if all those extra cattle had to come online around sort of August, September time, when a lot of other grass cattle would be coming. But the fact that we're up already, that's going to level out the national kill during the year. I think you'll see there's nothing on the horizon at the moment in terms of pressure coming from other countries. South America is concentrated on China. European meat traders have switched back to European suppliers, and Ireland is one of those. And I don't think in the next couple of weeks or months, indeed, that can impact beef demand, because we're coming into a time of year when barbecues come on board and people dine out, and obviously maybe holiday season as well, and people are away and they dine out again. So I think it's all pretty positive at the moment.
Is there any danger from the consumer's point of view that if the prices are going up, that demand may drop slightly?
Yeah, there might be a little bit of that, but if we look at our protein competitors, which are maybe pork and chicken, in terms of high energy costs and high feed costs, the price of those, we'll say, proteins are going to stay pretty high. But there is a little bit of that. I guess we'll get to a point where possibly supermarkets might pull some offers if beef is very, very expensive. But as I said at the beginning, if we look to Europe, we're still a little bit behind the price in Europe. We're probably tracking back 20 cent off that European price. So we still have a little bit more room to go. But we're probably coming near the peak. I don't think €6, we probably won't see it go much past that.
Mm. And I suppose some of the larger finishers will perhaps turn to lighter cattle.
Yeah, we've seen a little bit of that in the last couple of weeks in terms of marts. Factories have turned to marts to source their cattle, and we see factories fighting it out around rings. And given, to be honest, a lot more for factory-fit cattle in marts than they are if you walk into a factory this week, possibly 30, 40 cents in some cases of a premium to be had in a mart, because factories are competing for those animals. And yes, as heavy cattle have reduced in the last maybe 2-3 weeks, we've seen some finishers move back to that 400 or 500 kilo animal, which would have been traditionally a grass we'll say, based animal or grass, heading for grass for the summer. They're actually going into the shed now, so they're going to be short keep cattle, and they're probably going to come out at a lighter weight. And look, that's positive as well, because that takes those cattle out of the system a little bit as well.
Yeah, and with inputs continuing to rise, this of course is welcome news.
Absolutely. I guess what we're talking, you know, concentrates heading for €500 a ton next winter. Fertiliser costs have obviously tripled on some farms. So, look, while we talk about beef price being very, very positive, really it's going back out the gate in another way, in terms of higher energy costs, higher diesel costs, higher meal costs and higher fertiliser costs. So it's absolutely justified. And look, at we need that in terms of to keep that wheel going round, in terms of meeting our costs of production. The beef price needs to be where it's at today.
Well, let's keep with all the positivity, because turning to the live export trade, and there's a Middle East boost for Irish weanlings, another good news story.
Yeah, it's full of good news this week in the paper, Chris. Yeah, I guess this is a story we broke in the paper on Thursday. And looking at, I suppose, the Middle Eastern trade, we've seen, you know, exports doing really well, and it's a really positive story over the last couple of months. We're up 16,000 head, up 12% year-on-year in terms of livestock exports. That's been mainly driven by calves. We're up 40,000 calves heading to the Netherlands. But also in terms of that Middle Eastern demand, we've seen 7,500 sort of Frisian bulls being exported to Libya. We've seen the same Frisian bulls, 4,000 of those going to Jordan. And Israel, yeah, they're coming online. And the most positive thing about the Israel market is they're for 300 to 400 kilo continental weanlings. For suckler producers, this is going to be a really important market. It could end up replacing Turkey, which has currency issues at the moment. There's really good demand across the Middle East. You know, 9.6 million people living in Israel. They imported 200,000 cattle last year, so they have been traditionally sourcing them in Portugal, turning to Ireland now. They visited some livestock exporters' yards in January, some quarantine units, and looked at the facilities that we've had. Everything is good to go, and we would expect our first load of weanlings to move out there in the next couple of weeks.
Just looking at it maybe from a wider point of view, and for some of our listeners maybe not from a farming background, cattle from Donegal can end up in all sorts of places all around the globe.
Absolutely, I guess that's the nature of the industry that we're in, and I guess it's really important in terms of, you know, managing our numbers going forward. If we see a year where we have very low livestock exports, generally there comes pressure on a beef price 2 years after that, whereas if we have a year where it's high livestock exports, generally supply and demand, it doesn't take a lot to tip that supply-demand curve. So yeah, they're really important markets, and obviously we have to go through a lot of checks and tests to make sure that, you know, animal welfare is right, animal health is right, and they obviously have confidence in our systems that they're here to purchase. There's a lot of hoops to jump through to get past, to get into these countries. And look, it's a really positive for Ireland to be looking at these markets. I know Bourbia this week are in Morocco as well. That Northern Africa trade could boost on in the second half of 2022 as well. And they're talking to potential customers out there about sourcing cattle towards the autumn time, which is another positive.
And that was Adam Woods, the beef and suckler editor with the Irish Farmers Journal. And in other news, Chagas has announced details of its Sheep Open Day, which will take place in Athenry on the 18th of June. On the day, there will be a mix of technical presentations and interactive workshops dealing with all the main areas important to Irish sheep production. And there's always good interest from Donegal. Well, the 2021 GLAS balancing payments have commenced ahead of schedule this week. This means that over €23 million in balancing payments will be made to over 39,000 farmers, many of whom are in Donegal, who are participating in the scheme. The balancing payments represent the final 15% of the 2021 payment. Well, that's it for this week's edition of Farming News and Views. As always, many thanks for listening. Until next week, from me, Chris Ashmore, goodbye.
Highlands Farming News and Views is brought to you in association with Lifford Credit Union, who have recently launched Cultivate, an agricultural loan at only 6.55%, APR 6.75%. Call in to any of their three offices for more information or to make an appointment. Lifford Credit Union. Rafo Newton Lifford, supporting local farmers.
The obituary notices for Thursday evening, May the 19th. The death has taken place of Seamus McCarran, Finny Dirk Convoy. His remains will repose at his nephew Fergus Kelly's residence at Gortletteray Ballybuffet from 6 p.m. this evening. Funeral leaving from there on Saturday at 2:15 p.m. for 3 o'clock funeral mass in St. Mary's Church Convoy.
followed by burial in the family plot in the old cemetery. The death has taken place of Anthony Doherty, Umgall Malinhead. Removal from the Eternal Light Chapel of Rest, Mountaintop, Letterkenny, this afternoon at 4 p.m, going to his late residence. Funeral leaving there on Saturday morning at 9:30 a.m, going to St. Mary's Church Lag for Requiem Mass at 10 o'clock, with interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family time please from 10 p.m. to 10 a.m. The death has taken place of Pat Oliver, Maharanapan Convoy. His remains are reposing at his late residence. Funeral from there tomorrow afternoon at 1:30 p.m. for 2 p.m. funeral service in St. Ninian's Parish Church Convoy, followed by burial in the family plot in the adjoining graveyard. House private, family and friends welcome, and strictly private on the morning of the funeral. Family flowers only, please. Pat's funeral service will be streamed live on the Craigs Media Facebook page. The death has taken place of Willie McColgan, Garrison Ishkeheen Muff. Remains are reposing at his residence. Funeral from there on Saturday morning at 10:30 a.m, going to St. Patrick's Church, Ishkeheen, for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass, with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. The death has occurred of Joseph Joe Keeney, 23 Fairgreen Hill, Long Lane, Letterkenny, reposing at the Eternal Light Chapel of Rest, Mountaintop, Letterkenny, from 5:30 p.m. to 7:30 p.m. this evening, with removal to St. Union's Cathedral, Letterkenny, for reception prayers at 8 o'clock. Reposing overnight for Requiem Mass on Friday at 11 a.m, followed by cremation at Lakeland's Crematorium, Cavan. The Requiem Mass can be viewed live via churchservices.tv. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if wished to the Hillcrest House Residence Comfort Fund or medical to Letterkenny University Hospital. Care of Pascal Blake, Funeral Director. The death has taken place of Bernie Henderson, near Rolston, 55 St. Coleman's Drive, Strabane. Remains reposing at Quigley's Funeral Home tomorrow evening from 5:30 p.m, with removal at 6:30 p.m. to St. Mary's Church, Melmount. Requiem Mass on Saturday morning at 10 o'clock, followed by interment in the adjoining cemetery. The Requiem Mass can be viewed live at melmountparish.com. The death has taken place of Patrick Packy Lindsay, 460 Crone Heights, Lifford, and formerly of Ballindrate. His remains are reposing at his home. Funeral from there tomorrow morning at 11:15 a.m. for Requiem Mass in St. Patrick's Church, Murlug, at 12 noon. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Donations in lieu of flowers, please, to the Donegal Hospice, care of Quigley Funeral Directors. The Requiem Mass can be viewed live at clonleyparish.com. The death has occurred of Anne Mulrain, nee Ballantyne, Gortna Quigley, Raphoe. Her remains are reposing at Kelly's Funeral Home, Oakfield, Raphoe, today from 2 p.m. until 8 p.m, with rosary tonight at 8 o'clock. Funeral from there tomorrow morning at 10:40 a.m, going to St. Union's Church, Raphoe, for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass, with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. The Mass can be viewed live on mcnmedia.tv. For more details, including any family health guidelines for wakes and funerals, please go to highlandradio.com.
Destination Store. If you belong on pitch, try a new pair of Adidas Predator Edge football boots, available in kids and adult sizes. Complete your kit with a pair of Murphy's gloves, available in many colors and sizes. Update your O'Neill shorts and socks with the all-important gum shield. Then you're ready to compete. Look the part, play the part. In store, online. Click and collect on bmcsports.ie.
Milford Tiles, Wood Flooring and Bathware, Milford Retail Park, now open. Large range of wall and floor tiles on display and in stock. Over 70 different laminate floors to suit every pocket. Tilers and woodfitters available. New Bathware showroom now open. Milford Tiles, Wood Flooring and Bathware, 083 091 0707.
Century Complex is the perfect family day out. Treat yourself to a tasty meal at Backstage Bar and Grill, an exciting movie at Century Cinemas, and explore Century Play. Get in touch with our team today on 074-912-1976 or check out our website, centurycinemas.ie, for more information on Century Complex.
If you're thinking of changing some furniture, a huge sale is now on at McGinley's Furniture in Letterkenny. It's a chance to save hundreds of euros on floor model suites, beds and mattresses, dining and occasional furniture, with reductions in all departments. It's a great opportunity to grab a real bargain in the big sale now on at McGinley's Furniture on the Joe Bonner Link Road, Letterkenny. See McGinley'sFurniture.com.
Getting value on your shopping has never been more important. That's why at Super Value we have great offers like Super Value Fresh Irish Sirloin Steak, half price. Selected 24-pack soft drink cans like 7-Up, €9. Selected fruit and veg like cherry tomatoes, 49 cent. And get new money off vouchers every week on the Real Rewards app. Super Value. Real food, real people.
The Power Hour Plus with County Seat Menswear, Main Street, Letterkenny. Spring summer collections are now available in top brands like Bugatti, Diesel, Bonetti and Finch High. See you in store and at countyseat.ie.
Okay, welcome back to the show. A bit of music history now. And let's take you back in time to this very day, this very date, the 19th of May. Let's head back to 1978. And on this very day, Dire Straits released their first major label single, Sultans of Swing. And it was recorded on a budget of just £120. That's what you call value for money. Here's that track from 1978, Dire Straits, Sultans of Swing.
You get a shiver in the dark, it's raining in the park, but meantime, sound of the river, you stop and you hold everything. A band is blowing Dixie, double fall time. When you hear the music ring, well, now you step inside, but you don't see too many faces. Coming in out of the rain, they hear the jazz go down. Competition in other places, but the horns, they blowing that sound way on down south. Strictly rhythm, he doesn't want to make it cry or sing. If any old guitar is all he can afford, when he gets up under the lights to play his thing. And Harry doesn't mind if he doesn't make the scene. He's got a Sultans, we're the Sultans of Swing. Yeah. And a crowd of young boys, they're fooling around in the corner, drunk and dressed in their best brown baggies in their platform soles. Rock and roll. Then the Sultans. Yeah, the Sultans. sometimes I play Creole.
Keep an eye out for the digital signs between Junction 4 Ballymun and Junction 9 Red Cow on the M50. The signs will be switched on to slow traffic in the event of a collision, roadworks, poor weather or congestion. Lowering your speed will help protect you, other road users, emergency responders and road workers. Respect the speed displayed and help keep the M50 safe. A message from Transport Infrastructure Ireland and the Road Safety Authority.
At Cherrymore Kitchens and Bedrooms, we are now operating out of one new state-of-the-art showroom in Donegal Town. And we invite you to visit our new 5,000 square foot Donegal Town showroom to discover the latest eye-catching designs. Remember, at Cherrymore, you're dealing directly with a manufacturer, which means high-quality kitchens at factory prices. Start planning your dream kitchen or bedroom by calling Cherrymore on 074 9725 822. Cherrymore, 25 years delivering value, quality and service all over Ireland.
Raymond Sweeney here from Ben Sweeney Electrical in Letterkenny and Dunloe. If you have a smoky oven, a noisy dishwasher or a slow wash machine, we can help. With a great selection of the latest appliances from top names like Zanussi, Samsung, Miele and Neff. As a Keller Gas main supplier, we also have a full range of gas cookers, and because we're part of the Euronics Group, everything we offer is great value.
Ben Sweeney Euronics. We deliver, we install, we care.
A huge sale is now